You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew, topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh. You're in the madhouse now.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people. And their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Mark the Chicken didn't win, but we're here.
This week on Dueling Review, we review Invincible number 128, written by Robert Kirkman with art by Corey Walker. Alan the Alien is under attack. Has Mark's absence put his friends and family in danger? Will he be able to put things right before it's too late?
And what about Naomi?
So, Matthew, catch me up on what's been going on in Invincible. Mark's been away for 5 years.
Yes, essentially, Mark left Earth after Robot took over the world. You remember that part?
Yeah, Rex the Robot took over, and actually, things got kind of better in his control.
Well, yeah, I mean, the totalitarian regime with absolutely nobody fighting against him, it seems to work.
It's just and, like what's going to happen when Trump wins the White House.
Mark went out into space.
Yeah, and he and his wife Eve and their baby.
Right, and Mark accidentally stepped into some sort of time vortex where an alien creature gave him a chance to go back in time, change the world. He went back in time, he tried to change the world, he realized that if he tried to make things better in the past and save people, he would be giving up Eve and his daughter. So he said, no, I'm not going to do that. The alien creature said, what, are you a jerk? He said, yes, I'm apparently a jerk. It sent him back, but he arrived 5 years, 5 years after he left. You know, like Buck Rogers, 500 years into the future.
5 years, not quite 500, but So in the process, he's missed his daughter growing up. Mm-hmm. And we also found out last issue that Eve, it's been 5 years, Mark. Woman has needs. That's what happens when you're too busy.
Yep. Well, not so much busy as lost in time, space, and dimension, but still.
Well, maybe Eve got busy.
Oh, that's a good call. Terrible pun, but a good call.
Yeah. So this issue is really all about Mark feeling mopey about the fact that his wife's been with someone else. We don't know who or what, but he's trying to get over it, and he seems fairly accepting of it, although every time he opens his mouth, Eve just, like, totally goes off on him.
Yes, he actually tries to tell her at one point that, yes, he's hurt by it, but he understands, and he was gone for a long time, and blah, 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 but... there's a lot of bonding with the daughter.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in here. Tara.
Yeah, Tara. There's some really nice stuff in here. There's a very confusing bit with Tara's automatic robot teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That thing's going to murder somebody.
You think?
I'm putting money down right now. That robot is going to turn into a murder robot at some point.
And kill Tara?
I don't think it's going to kill Tara because Tara is... well, her mother is the world's most powerful telekinetic, and her father is a Viltrumite. So it may try to kill Tara and somehow trigger her amazing godlike powers, you know.
Maybe. She is afraid of flying high and fast.
Well, yeah, she's five.
Yeah, come on, that's fun stuff.
She doesn't want to fly. She doesn't want to fly. She may not be a roller coaster girl, you know. Not every kid is.
Well, they should be. So we've got that going on, and really the interactions with... Mark and his daughter and Eve, as they're trying to reconcile and try to readjust to everyone and everyone being in their life, does take up quite a bit of the issue. That being said, we've covered quite a bit of the issue in that short amount of time.
Yes, this is the thing about Invincible plotting. Invincible tends to have, Well, it's a Kirkman thing. It's what we say about Walking Dead. You'll have issue after issue.
I was going to say, the big difference is the Walking Dead, you have issue after issue of nothing happening. At least in every issue of Invincible, something is happening.
Something gets punched. But
yeah,
from a comic book standpoint, it's very similar where you have issue after issue of various plot lines simmering. It's like a Marvel comic from the 70s in the best ways and the worst ways. And this issue is really all about simmering up some plot lines. I actually have a theory that we probably don't want to go into just yet about what's going on here. But we have a lot of bits and pieces. We have Alan the Alien trying to stave off a coup attempt.
Yeah.
We have something weird going on with Thrag and his population of Viltrumites. And then we have Mark trying to deal with, you know, his family and having been gone. And, of course, there's that big surprising last page where we find out what Thrag is actually up to. Oh, Thrag.
Yeah, he's attacking Earth.
Yep.
Well, I think the interesting thing with Alan is that, you know, he's been trying to combat Thrag and his Viltrumite presence, but he can't get ahead of him. And finally, the head of the council or whatever is like, oh, no, I'm taking you out, Alan, and I'm using all of your bodyguards to turn against you. Et tu, Brute? And Alan's like, you know, I've just been holding back. And he just cleans the house with all these guys.
I do like that and hate it at the same time. Because Alan has spent a lot of time being a bureaucrat, and people have forgotten that Alan is one of the most powerful beings in the galaxy. But that moment where he's like, oh, don't get me wrong, but I just wanted to hear what you had to say, and now I'm going to kill everybody, and I'm going to come kill you too.
No, actually, he's not going to kill the council. He wants her booted off and go through the shame so everyone knows what's going on. And she's like, I will not give you that pleasure. And she pulls out I guess it's a girl. I think it's a girl.
I think it's
she
a girl,
pulls out the detonator and blows up half of the building that they're in. So
and half of the Allen. But
yeah, but he'll recover. He
always does.
He rebuilds himself like the Viltrumites do.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think's going on there, Matthew? Thrag has been conquering worlds and trying to distract people, obviously. Earth
Thrag
is his primary target.
He's rebuilt his army by basically duplicating Oliver. You remember Oliver, Omni-Man's kid.
Yeah, basically he's getting it on with one of the insect alien people.
With thousands of the insect aliens.
Yeah, and that was established, man, a while ago, I want to say.
Yeah,
right?
That's
like a couple of years ago.
Probably before issue 100.
And Oliver... You know, we always used to say that Nolan had a very Freddie Mercury look to him. Oliver, if you've seen Oliver grown up at this current age, he looks like a young Freddie Mercury.
He does. My theory is this.
That Freddie Mercury is trying to take over the world?
Freddie Mercury is trying to take... No.
From
when it comes to Invincible, I think what would a normal comic book do? And then I try and invert it. This story has rolled straight out of Mark taking that test of valor and realizing I can't give up my family, right?
Yeah.
I believe that we are in the middle of an arc that is actually still part of the test. Mark's first choice, I can't give up my family, screwed up his life. Mark's second choice, I'm going to go and live with my family. This, whatever this alien presence is, this fourth dimensional being that he's encountered, is showing him this terrible future where his daughter doesn't know him, his wife's cheating on him, his alien people are coming to destroy the world, and it's going to end up in total destruction, and the Earth is going to die, and then Mark is going to wake up in that cave, and he's going to realize, oh my God, I am a hero after all.
The interesting thing about that is if you go back, I can see from a bigger arc like that, but the thing is when you look at the individual arcs – with 116, that's issue 116. That's when they left the planet.
Right.
Then you had a whole, you had a couple of other things where they're trying to get settled and everything, and he gets going to the portal. And then there was that 5-issue series called Reboot.
The Reboot.
And those were the ones where he was sent back into the past and looked at this. When we come back with 127, it's like right back into main story. So from a cover aesthetic standpoint, it would be really shocking if he did wake up and it said, this was the ghost of future past.
I think that's going to happen. And the reason I think that is because Kirkman enjoys doing the thing that Basically, in a lot of ways, this is a Bronze Age Marvel comic, but we get to that point where when we were reading Marvel comics or Legion of Superheroes or X-Men, where something should have changed the story irrevocably, but couldn't because, you know, shared corporate universe, Bob Kirkman doesn't have that problem.
Right.
And when they did Reboot, he intentionally pitched Reboot and would not tell us whether or not Reboot was real. He did. I mean, he came in and said, okay, Mark's gone back in time. What do you think? We're starting over from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Is it a reboot or not? Tell us what you think. And everybody went nuts. And then it was clear that it wasn't what it is. 2 issues into this arc, I just have a feeling that this is not what we think it is, that there's something else going on.
Well, what if it's not he's still in the cave, but what if he goes back to the cave and he says, oh, great benevolent thingy that was out there.
I'm really a hero. Send me back 5 years. Well, yeah. I can see that, too. I honestly think that Mark is still hallucinating. Hmm. And I think that what it's going to be is the entire Corey Walker arc.
Yeah.
Or the entire Ryan Otley arc, rather. This is Otley.
This is Walker.
Okay. Yeah. Walker is the original penciler.
Yes, he is.
The entire arc with the original penciler is going to be tied together. So that 5-issue reboot and the 6 issues or 7 issues of whatever this is are going to be tied together. And I think thematically, if we have the reboot, oh, it's not a reboot. Ha ha. We're in the reality. No, we're not.
And you think just because we're keeping the same artist? Because who was the artist on the reboot series? Was that Otley?
That was Walker.
Oh, okay.
Walker took over the art, and that was the gimmick, was the original artist came back, we went back in time and relived some of those events.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you get out of that, and everybody's like, oh, gosh, I sure am glad that wasn't true, Kirkman. Ha ha, we're back to the regular story. Kirkman is just enough of a, you know, to just tweak your nose and to get to the end of this and go, ah, ha ha, that didn't happen either. You remember that time when we were in the Crystal Palace of Lolth and we woke up and it was terrible, and then we woke up and it was terrible, and then we woke up again and it was terrible?
You're talking about Critical Hit.
Critical Hit, one of our other podcasts, the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. A very, very good show, in fact. But yes, I firmly believe and will believe until disbelieved that these two arcs are related, and that part of it is, if we've jumped forward 5 years in time, right?
Yeah.
Thrag, right. The evil emperor of the remaining Viltrumites, now has a massive planetary army of pre-crisis Kryptonians.
Mm-hmm.
And while Kirkman does like to play with the status quo, I feel like that is too much gun for storytelling purposes, if you know what I mean. That's something that we didn't have the 5 years build up. We jump forward and the 5 years are there, and something about it just feels thematically imbalanced enough that if we look at the 5-issue reboot arc where Mark is in the past with his current knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he can't fix it. And now he's in his future without any current knowledge and things are still bad. Those two counterpart against each other. We come out of the end of this and we take him back to a point where he can act and stop Thrag before not all the terrible things, obviously, because Thrag is wearing the corpse of the battle beast as his
right,
new mantle.
Right, 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 right.
Which is terrible and funny and terrible all at once. But
yeah,
that's just my crazy theory. That's my, 123.
Yeah, maybe you are. I mean, the reboot was Ryan Otley doing the art during that run. And then we're back. Now we're back into Corey Walker. We could still get a reboot out of this. I mean, he could go back and change a bunch of things.
If you look
he may come down to the question of, you know, what's more important, the good of the many or the good of the one.
What Invincible really does best is take a standard comic book question like, what happens if a hero turns evil, that we've seen 1,000 times before.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having Invincible rally the troops and beat up Robot, have people join Robot's side, see Robot's point, support Robot's thing, and then we move forward into this weird new world. So I'm not saying that this cannot be the new status quo. I just feel like it isn't just yet. And I think that Kirkman's letters page responses are just noncommittal enough that I can support this delusion for at least another issue or two.
Oh no, I th- uh, this thing is going to be a 6-issue run.
So we're 2 issues into a 6-issue arc.
I think we're 2 issues into a 6-issue arc.
Okay.
Yeah, because you've got to deal with Thrag as the next is in the next issue. Mm. Where and then also Mark, Eve, and Tara take a trip back to Earth to visit Grandma and Grandpa, which you know can't end in a nice way.
No, it'll end in a bloodbath.
Yeah, and
so then, Corey Walker, who is drawing this, is the original penciler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, my theory still stands. I get them confused because their art styles are relatively similar.
Except that. Ryan Ottley uses a lot more brain matter in his art. he's a lot more graphic in the work that he does. Corey Walker and really the two Ottley's a little bit more squared off in his style, where as we can see with Eve in this issue, she's a lot more round than she's got a lot more curves than what we've seen her in the past under Ottley's pen. So
well, this is 5 years in the future.
Yeah, no, but still, you know, the art in this is really, really good. And I'm glad we get to see Corey Walker in this. Yep. But their art is similar. And that's why I think when the switch happened all those years ago in Omnibus 2 or whenever that happened, it was not noticeable until you get to the graphic fight scenes. And that's when Ottley really comes out and just is like, blood and guts, blood and guts, blood and guts, and it's somewhat terrifying, but also beautiful at the same time.
Yeah,
so
just oceans of blood.
Yeah, yeah. So I really dug the art in this, and who knows, maybe you are right on this. It would be interesting to see what would happen if he was able to go back in time and change things. If he was able to give up Eve or his daughter in the in a time jump, in a time decision kind of thing. Or if he was able to muster everybody who Rex killed and they're all able to fight off the Viltrumites.
Could be.
Yeah. Or maybe Rex is actually hiding a Viltrumite mustache under that luscious red beard of his.
I'm seriously hoping that there's some weakness in the Viltrumite Thraxen. Flaxen? Yeah, the Viltrumite Flaxen hybrids.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you would have...
The purple people.
It would have been brought up a long time ago with Oliver, I would have thought.
Well, yeah, but you
know,
you
gotta have some. We've seen Oliver get trashed, and he heals.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Because I am leery of another just giant invading race of psychos.
Yeah.
Granted, I mean...
Well, it's the Viltrumites. They have a mad crush on Earth for some reason.
They just want to destroy it because it defied them.
Yeah, well.
Nolan defied them, and now they want to destroy everything that Nolan loves, including the Earth.
Yeah.
And superpowered Abraham Lincoln.
Yes. I would say if you're jumping on, this one I had a little bit of head scratching going on because it has been since the Thrag battle with Battle Beast. That was the last time. I mean, I've been buying it and the books, but I haven't had a chance to read. So I sat down, read 128, and I was like, this is slightly confusing. I know that there was some time manipulation. I went back and read 127, and between that and 128, everything is filled in that you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking about using this as a jumping on point, I would say jump on at 127. And move forward. Or if you've been away from Invincible for a while, 127 forward will be a good enough place to do it. But I rather enjoyed the book. I thought the art was great. I thought the story was great. I thought Mark trying to cope and becoming a lot more emotional than what we've seen Mark in the past, I thought was great. So I really enjoyed this issue. I give it a thumbs up.
I'm not categorically disagreeing, but there's something about this issue that just... I don't know.
No, it's the second issue. It's a second issue in a 6-issue arc.
It leaves me uneasy. So I would definitely, I'd still recommend it. Even the worst ever issue of Invincible
is still better than any issue of DC Comics, blah, blah, blah.
That's not true.
No, that's what everybody says.
That's not true.
Any issue of blah, blah, blah is better than DC Comics, blah, blah, blah.
I don't say that. I don't.
No, I'm not saying you do. I'm saying you go on and listen to the vitriol and the jive that people spew out of their mouths on the internet, and it's like even the worst issue of XYZ comic is better than the best issue of a DC comic. And that's That's totally not true.
That's why
and,
we
and what's amazing those people. What's amazing is this week, I try to do this every week, but some weeks I miss. I try to go out on a Thursday and say, hey, everybody on the in the Twitterverse who follows me.
Hey, everybody.
What were your favorite books that you picked up and read this week? And this week it was DC all the way. This week it was Future Quest was awesome. The last issue of Superman Wonder Woman was fantastic. And people were just all over the DC this week, the DC love this week. And so, yeah, I don't really agree with people that say the best DC comics are still awful, because that's not the case.
That
and I cannot and I cannot wait till next week when DC Universe Rebirth lands in our face.
When we get in a lot of ways, it kind of feels like some groupthink. We get this theory of this presentism where whatever is happening right now will continue to happen and has always happened. And we have people who are like, the New 52 has been a disaster from the get-go. That's not true.
No,
they
it's not.
Have made major missteps, but they've also done some incredible stuff.
Oh, man. Grant Morrison's Action Comics run was
Grant
fantastic.
Morrison's
the Snyder 50 issues of Snyder and Capullo was great, even though people may not like Easter Bunny, Jim Gordon as Batman. Still mm-hmm. a fantastic run, and that's all part of the New 52.
Both edges of both creative teams on Batgirl did some incredible work. The first 8 issues of that new Black Canary series mm-hmm. have been just amazing.
The fact that we have Gotham Academy that's out of the New 52 is fantastic. Yeah.
Even going back to the original 2011 New 52 launches, of those 52 books, I would say 8 of them were awful. 10 of them were something, but 6 or 10 of them were really excellent and mm-hmm. stayed really excellent. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have to have a realistic approach. You can't be the guy who says everything your DC does is perfect. Not that we ever have, but more importantly, it's a balancing act. You have to accept that DC puts out good comics, Image, Dark Horse, Marvel put out good comics. I will say this. Zenoscope has put out some good comics.
They put out, I think every company is capable of putting out really good comics. I think what makes a good comic is this fantastic combination of writer and artist and a mm-hmm. solid story that actually goes somewhere and tells a greater thing other than we punch, we fight, the end,
right.
the good guys win.
And then they fight.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the things that has kind of been occasionally problematic is here is this big giant event comic with a lenticular cover. Why do I care? That is an issue for me. But event comics are more than DC issues. They're more than Marvel issues. I mean, issues in terms of the books themselves, but issues in terms of problems with the storytelling. And you'll see that even in, you know, the smallest of independent companies still want to try and feed you the occasional event comic mm-hmm. because event comics
event,
are where the money is.
Event comics sell, you know, when you try to cross over, I mean, that's a ploy. I think we have talked that we're seeing a lot more of the variant cover craziness that was going on in the 90s. And I think that some companies, well, really all the companies, because all the companies are doing variant covers.
Yep.
I think they're all following in that ploy. And I think what they really need to do is figure out how to sell comics without a gimmick. I mean, you can sell comics without a gimmick. And I've talked at length about this for years. And I think if people just sit down and say, maybe we should stop advertising our comic books inside of our comic books. Right? Because
that is part of it.
Or, you know, and
even if it's something where we're not only advertising our comics just inside our comics.
Yeah. But I mean, the social media certainly has helped. But when you're talking about any comic book publisher, the people that are following your social media are probably the fans of your work. I don't know too many people. I mean, maybe I'm totally misjudging this, but I don't follow anybody that I don't like. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, so people who are following DC are probably fans of DC, or mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not super fans, but maybe they have some critique and criticism. So I think that advertising on your social media is somewhat problematic.
Mm-hmm.
What DC does and what Marvel does well is they work with Entertainment Weekly, which used to be owned by Time Warner.
Right.
And they're getting a lot of the scoops in the USA Today's and the Entertainment Weekly stuff, mm-hmm. which reaches a much broader audience than just people who are fans of a particular publisher. So I think that that's right. But oftentimes those stories come out and I think people read them and they're like, yeah, okay, well, where do I buy a comic book? And really mm-hmm. these stories, when they work with Entertainment Weekly or when they work with USA Today, the publisher should take it upon themselves and buy a ad at the end of that article. That is the comic book locator ad.
Yep.
And that would help out tremendously.
Part of the thing is
let Comixology know ahead of time and let Comixology buy an ad.
Right. The question is oftentimes resaleability, and not in terms of once you have the book selling it again. It's, I found this comic that I want to read, but I have to come back in 30 days, in right. 30 days, in 30 days. And that is getting people into those stores, getting people access to those comics, letting them know that the comics exist. That's half the battle. Letting them know that the comics exist every month, how to order them, and make the system less of a self-fulfilling, tripping over hurdles prophecy, also a good idea.
Yeah.
Because it's really difficult to pre-order comics 3 months in advance, going through the catalog.
Right, without knowing what's going on.
Right. I haven't read a previews catalog in over a year. And it's honestly been kind of fun. It's kind of awesome. Because I get surprised by things now that I didn't necessarily when I was a regular previews reader. But it also means that I get surprised by things that didn't, you know.
Sure.
I couldn't find a physical copy of Future Quest.
I wonder how many, and this is maybe for our retailers out there, if you're a retailer and listening, first of all, thank you. Second of all, if you are a retailer out there, please write to me, podcast@majorspoilers.com, because I would like to know if you have a mailing list set up for people who come into your store. And yeah. I know asking people to sign up for an email list is somewhat pushy. It's like, oh, you're a new customer here. You haven't been here before. Would you like to sign up for our email list? When you pitch it like that, a lot of times it's just like, I don't want to be on somebody's junky email list where you're going to flood me with stuff. But if right. you can provide some value to your email list, like, hey, each week we're going to send out a staff picks that lets you know right. what's going on. That's kind of what we do right now with our Major Spoilers email list. We're going to mm-hmm. send you out a staff picks to let you know what we're recommending this week so that when you go to the store, you've kind of got a printout ready to go. You could use your email list to alert people of things that they're interested in. Depending on your email list, I'm sure that if someone said, hey, I'm buying this Afterlife with Archie book, alert me the next time that there's an Afterlife with Archie book on the shelf so I know where to get it. Or right. when to come down to the store and get it instead of coming in 2 weeks later and going, is that new right. Afterlife with Archie here? No, it's a couple more weeks.
Oh, that way you'll get your email every year.
Yeah, so I would be curious. I would be curious how many retailers out there are using an email list. Now, I know that my guy in Salina uses an email list to basically say it's a pull list email list that basically says, hey, this week we're meeting here to give out comics. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go eat here if you guys want to hang out with us. And here are the books that I've pulled
for
you this week.
So it's like a floating crap game.
Kind of, because he doesn't have a physical store. They actually meet somewhere each Saturday to hand out books to people. And so usually a lot of the times it's everybody goes to a restaurant and they all eat together at like an Olive Garden or something. Or and then afterwards, if there's a movie like this weekend is I guess no movie this weekend, but next week would be like Apocalypse, X-Men Apocalypse. So they'll all say, hey, we're all going to go to X-Men Apocalypse afterwards. If you want to join us for that, it's the 7:30 show, blah, 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 blah. And then he gives you a list of, here are the books that I've pulled for you this week. And by the way, your orders for May are due Sunday.
Yeah.
That's what I get.
Sounds pretty excellent.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty good, but he doesn't have a store where people can wander in off the street and go, hey man, I heard that there's this new DC Rebirth thing going on. It's right. the first time I want to get back into this where he can say, yes, here's a copy right here. And oh, by the way, this book comes out biweekly or monthly, however they're going to run this. Mm-hmm. How about this? You sign up to my email list. I'm not going to flood you with junk mail, right. but I will let you know when books are coming out, what books are coming out so you can make a choice. And I'm not going to give you the entire previews catalog, although many people that create a subscription service at their store will give you a free previews catalog if you sign up as a member.
Right.
But I will let you know if you are into this Rebirth. I will let you know what's going on with Rebirth and other comics in this Rebirth line if you're interested. And if you have any questions, you can always hit reply and ask me, and you don't have to even come down to the store.
I like that.
I think that might help a little bit.
That certainly wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. Or you could listen to shows like Dueling Reviews, where we talk about comics that are coming out next week, including Dark Horse Comics' Aliens Defiance number 2, Gru Friends and Foes trade paperback, that's volume 3, comes out next week, Lobster Johnson Metal Monsters of Midtown number 1, Rodrigo Lopez reviewed that on this week's Major Spoilers podcast, that is issue 678, I want to say, 677.
Mm-hmm.
You can go check that out over at majorspoilers.com. Over at DC Comics, we have Batgirl 52. You remember a conversation we had when 52 was first launching, and I said, hey, what if this was a stunt and they were only going to do 52 issues?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I hate it when you do that.
Cyborg number 11.
Just get this look on your... That's it. That's
Cyborg number 11 comes out next week. Flash 52 also arrives next week. And the big book that's coming out next week, DC Universe Rebirth number 1. That's a $2.99 book. Remember, DC is going back to their holding the line at $2.99 for their DC Comics books. That being said, Art Ops number 8 is a $3.99 book.
Hold the line.
And so is Scooby... Scooby-Doo Apocalypse number 1 also comes out next week. That's a $3.99 book.
Oh,
And Howard Porter... who's been following us for a long time. Mm-hmm. He's like super nervous about our review of
Scooby Apocalypse
because he's the artist on it. And a lot of people have been taking the book to task mainly because of the Jim Lee cover and the ridiculousness of Scooby-Doo in a post-apocalyptic world. He's like, man, I'm really worried about your review. And he was nice enough today. I said, well, I've heard good things about it. He was nice enough today to say, hey, I want to send you a copy as quickly as I can. I've got a physical copy. I would like to send it to you. And I was like, okay, fine. Please send it to me. And I will read it and we'll discuss it. So I cannot wait to see what happens with Scooby Apocalypse number 1. Beyond the Jim Lee crazy cover art, this could actually be a fun book in the same vein as Afterlife with Archie, where people are like, Archie, Riverdale, and zombies? Oh, come on. And it's actually a freaking fantastic book.
Yeah. I really hope that it's wonderful. Partly because I think a new Scooby-Doo iteration is well overdue. And secondly, there are a lot of people who have been bad-mouthing this concept, and I kind of want to see a little neener from DC.
Well, Superman 52 Final Days comes out next week. I believe that is the last issue. This is the one that I've been talking about all this time is, what happened after Convergence? Why isn't Convergence Superman meeting with New 52 Superman? And in the last
two issues, they totally
are and teaming up. So there you go. Just in time for the universe to rebirth itself. Teen Titans number 20, I'm sorry, not number 70. This one, I believe, also ties into Rebirth, even though it doesn't have a Rebirth name on it. And then We Are Robin number 12 comes out next week. IDW Publishing has Back to the Future number, 8? Yes. Dirk Gently and a Spoon Too Short number 4. Ghostbusters International number 5. Skylander Secret Agent Secrets hardcover. That's a $12.99 book. Transformers 53 and X-Files 2016. I guess it's that, what is that, season? They don't really go for seasons, but they're going for years. But it's X-Files 2016 number 2. Image Comics has Aloha Hawaiian Dick number 2. We reviewed the first issue of that a couple of weeks ago on the Major Spoilers podcast. Dream Police number 10.
They live inside of your head.
Yes. East of West number 26. Invincible 127 is getting a second printing. So again, if you... understand 128, here's 127 that you can go back and pick up that second printing. Sex number 28, that's a mature reader's book. Tokyo Ghost number 7, also a mature reader's book. Those are some of the books coming out from Image Comics. Over at Marvel, we have Amazing Spider-Man 1.5.
Spider-Man.
Captain America Steve Rogers number 1. This is kicking off the 75th anniversary of Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Carnage number 8, Civil War 2 number 0. That's a second printing variant that comes out. That's a $5 book for a 0 issue.
Ouchie.
Daredevil number 7, Drax number 7, Hyperion number 3, Mighty Thor number 7, Ms. Marvel number 7, Nighthawk number 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're releasing the entire Spider-Man Deadpool run in reprints.
Dead Spiders.
So the first one is getting a fifth reprint, second one's getting a fourth reprint, and so on and so forth. And the fifth issue is the new one. That's a $3.99 cover price on that. Star Wars number 19 and X-Men Worst X-Man Ever number 4. Oh, coming out next week, Matthew. We've been talking about it. Afterlife with Archie number 9 returns.
Yes.
Cannot wait to see what happens with that. Matthew already reviewed Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina the Teenage Witch over at Major Spoilers this week.
Holy moly, that's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
My God.
Has she come out of the I Married a Cthulhu?
No, that
or
was
she's still
afterlife.
Married to Cthulhu. Oh, okay.
This is actually a separate continuity. This is set in 1965 with a different take on Sabrina, very much a kind of a Anton LaVey kind of take.
Well, isn't the cover for this one Eerie Comics or a Creepy Comics homage?
Yeah. And in this issue, and I don't want to spoil or anything, but we meet two new witches from a nearby town called Riverdale. One of them's a brunette. One of them's a blonde.
How about that? Cheryl Blossom and her brother.
No, you're thinking of Afterlife again. And also they're both ginger.
Oh, okay. Disney's Darkwing Duck number 2 arrives. Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor, year 2, number 10. Such a long... I wish Titan Comics would shorten this down. Yes, I did see the big news. If you did not see the big news, I'm super excited about this because Titan Comics is finally getting around to doing a third Doctor series.
Yes.
That is coming out, I want to say, in August. August 31st, I want to say, is when that issue lands.
Was it August or was it July?
Let's see. August 31st is when this issue arrives. Doctor Who, the third Doctor, number 1. The most interesting thing about this is it's being written by Paul Cornell, who's had a fantastic run on his The Four Doctors series that we did last year during that weekly, that once a week issue thing. He is not a super fan of Third Doctor stuff, and he specifically has gone online and in books and in other places where he decimates the demons. Episode where he just hates that, and that's one of my favorite episodes of Doctor Who is the demons, and a lot of people also love that one as well, but Paul Cornell just has eviscerated that online in years past. So what happens when a hater takes on the third Doctor? I don't want to say he's a hater of the third Doctor, but he's certainly a hater of that episode. It will be interesting. So when something enormous and extraterrestrial crashes into Bedfordshire, the Doctor, Joe Grant, and the forces of UNIT under Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart mobilizes immediately to investigate and find themselves in the middle of a pitched battle against a terrifying invader. But the shocking face that awaits their return to base may tip the whole world off its axis. And what's really shocking is, I mean, I know what the third Doctor looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I know what John Pertwee looks like. Mm-hmm. But when you watch Gotham, it's like, man, if they ever wanted to bring the freaking third Doctor into the modern series, and his son said he would be interested in playing a doctor, not necessarily his father's doctor, but those two are such a spitting image of one another. You could do him as the third Doctor and people wouldn't even blink twice.
He can actually do an amazing rendition of his father's voice because he has voiced his father's doctor.
Oh, in the audiobooks?
In audio plays, yeah.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yep.
If you're a fan of Goldie Vance, and I know a lot of people were because Goldie Vance is going into a second printing, that arrives next week. We talked about Zenoscope Entertainment. Grimm's Fairy Tales Robin Hood Annual number 1 arrives next week, as does Grimm's Fairy Tales Satan's Hollow number 3.
Satan?
Let's see. Johnny Red number 7 arrives.
He fought all the way.
He did.
Johnny Red.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Red.
Munchkin number 17. Puppet Master number 15, if you're into some horror stuff. And if you're into wanting to get your face on comics, go check out the publisher. This is Action Lab Entertainment's Danger Zone. They're running a contest where they will take your likeness and have one of the puppets kill you on the cover.
Danger Zone!
Rick and Morty number 14 arrives next week, as does Self Storage number 5. Shaft, Imitation of Life number 4. That's a mature reader's book, and it's actually a very good series, so I would suggest checking that out. Strayer, that's what it says. Strayer number 4. Tomboy number 5.
Hmm.
Ultra Cat number 1. And we have the Zombie Tramp ongoing number 23.
He's a swinging Ultra Cat in the city of Neapolis.
Yeah.
All right.
So those are just some of the books coming out next week from your favorite publishers. If you want to see the If you want to see the complete list, head over to MajorSpoilers.com on Monday afternoons. That's when we post the full list of comics that are for sure coming out that week. Of course, you should always check with your local comic shop to see if anything gets shorted at your local store. Next week on Doom and Review,
Captain America Steve Rogers, number one, written by Nick Spencer, art by Jesus Saiz. He's back! The original Sentinel of Liberty returns with a new shield, a new team, and a new mission. And he's not the only one who's back. Like the saying goes, cut off one limb, two more will take its place.
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra!
You can show your support for the show and everything that we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a very important person at members.majorspoilers.com. Your contribution allows us to keep this show going, pay for our growing costs, and gives us the motivation to produce content for you. Plus, when you sign up, the show keeps going, plus you get some extra content over there at members.majorspoilers.com. Thank you so much for checking out Dueling Review this week, and we will talk with you next time when you will hear Matthew say,
"Give me a steak, medium rare."
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.